One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Molly Jong Fast and Mark Leibovich. Hey, everybody. We got a great one today. You know, for a change, Molly Jong Fast and Mark Leibovich join me again. This time to look at the Republican National Convention, where Donald Trump was nominated for the third time for president. He's 1-1 so far. And right now, there's 3.5 months before the election, and at this moment, Trump thinks he has it in the bag. Polls show him with leads in all the battleground states, four of them outside the margin of error. Of course, all we need are Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all of which are within the margin of error. That would get him to 269 electoral votes and a tie, in which case he would need either the second district in Maine or in Nebraska. Those are the two states which allocate their electoral votes by giving two to whoever wins the popular vote in the state, and then one each for the winner of each congressional district. And the second district in each is in play every 4 years. By the way, if you feel like crap right now, this isn't going to do anything to make you feel better. Speaking of which, in addition to the convention, Molly and Mark and I talk about the drama on our side. We know that Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and Nancy Pelosi have met with President Biden and urged him to drop out. You know, right after the Trump-Biden debate, I expressed doubts about the wisdom of the president continuing to run for re-election. Unfortunately, that was 3 weeks ago, and nothing, not the Stephanopoulos interview, not the NATO press conference, not any of his speeches and other interviews that Biden's done, have given me confidence that the president should continue. He should drop out of the race and finish out his term being a really good president until next January 20th. Do I think there's time to have a process to replace him, or is Vice President Harris simply the best option? I don't know. Assuming Biden drops out of the race, that's all up to Schumer and Jeffries and Pelosi and Jamie Harris, the chair of the Democratic National Committee, and the Democrats who might want to run for president now, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, Josh Shapiro, a senator or two. Bernie Sanders would be a funny choice. I've got at least one good term in me. Maybe two. They could organize a quick debate series. The convention delegates would vote. So maybe it's Harris. Maybe someone we're not thinking about. Sounds chaotic, but kind of exciting. But I agree that President Biden, who's been a terrific president, can ask the country for another term. And of course, he got COVID. We have to defeat Trump. According to CNN, Trump told 21 lies in his acceptance speech. He said the crime rate is going up. It's been going down under Biden. He said we've grown more energy dependent under Biden. In fact, we export more oil and gas than ever before. He said, and I quote, Democrats are going to destroy Social Security and Medicare because all of these people by the millions are coming in. They're going to be on Social Security and Medicare, and you're not able to afford it. The opposite, of course, is true. Most undocumented immigrants who are working pay payroll taxes and very likely will not collect Social Security and Medicare unless they become documented, and only then will they both pay in and collect on that work. J.D. Vance said that in Mike Pence's place on January 6th, he would have accepted the slates of the fake electors. Their party won't give up the lie that Trump won the 2020 election. And Project 2025 is a nightmare. It's like a treatment for the Handmaid's Tale. So hang in there and go for a bike ride or do something nice for yourself, and then do something nice for the country and volunteer to phone bank or door knock this summer and fall. Okay? Okay, now Molly Jong Fast and Mark Leibovich for a great one. You know, for a change.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
In his speech, he started off with talking about the assassination attempt. Did you buy his finding God and kind of had to?
I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, he's, it's hard to imagine that not having a very chilling effect on anyone, even Donald Trump. And I can imagine that he has thought more spiritual thoughts, such as they are in his head, than he ever has over these last few days. I'll say this, whether it's sincere or not, I thought the top of the speech, the first 20 minutes or so, when he was focused on the details, were quite compelling. Mm-hmm. And I think probably what most people who watch, I mean, it was early enough, they'll remember that. And the hour and a half rambling, disjointed speech that followed, I think probably will be less remembered, or people just turned it off. No, I thought, look, the guy can tell us. Well, actually, he's not a good storyteller because he goes off in many directions. He managed to stay on the event, which was riveting. Right. He hasn't really spoken yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy that he's spiritual, but yeah, it was also hard not to kind of be impressed by the fact that he was willing to go there in a speech where he went in and out of what was prepared. And that, right. But that's what he does at every speech. I mean, it was probably the same length of every one of his stump speeches, which is about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think there were some things he did there that were very helpful for him, right? The first 20 minutes were pretty good. And you heard takes from people online that were like, oh, wow, this is great. And then he just completely bulldozed over it.
He went to his stump speech that he does, that he won't be doing outside anymore.
But there were a few other things that I saw that will help them with low information voters.
Speaking of low information, there was a lot of disinformation, lies.
Disinformation voters.
Yeah. There's low information voters and disinformation voters and voters who are both disinformation and low information. He did lie a lot. CNN kept track of them.
Daniel Dale, who's the kind of real-time fact checker
for CNN,
which they could have had during the debate.
Yeah, I mean, he his head would have exploded. I mean, he's an American special. He is very good at his job, and he's very good at speaking very fast and really assembling and just like refuting every lie really, really quickly and doing it in a couple minutes.
Well, here are some of the lies. Let's see. The crime rate is going up under Biden.
Right.
Which the opposite is true. This is
highest inflation rate in history.
That's
that
right.
Also wasn't true. But at least it was in the right direction. Because he said that we were energy independent on him, but not anymore. And the opposite is true.
That's
that
not true.
More, yeah. I think we import oil and gas from Mexico. But we are not only net exporters, but the biggest net exporter, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of liquefied natural gas. I mean, the thing is, like, this all works in a fact-free environment. So, like, all these speeches were like, inflation's never been worse, crime's never been worse. You know, he listed all these terrible violence against women from illegal, quote-unquote, aliens. But the reality is, like, here's a guy who's an adjudicated sexual assaulter listing violence against women. I mean, if you don't remember the very recent past, then all of this works.
We'll hear a lot about that at the Democratic convention, but we don't know exactly who is going to be the nominee for our party. And that's a shadow hanging over you guys and me, I think. This has been a rough period.
You think?
I think, yeah.
So this is grilled. This is a CNN Politico grill where everyone could eat for free. So it was like a big kind of hangout.
Wow, what a deal.
Yeah, it was a good deal. The food wasn't bad. You know, it was a lot of people were there, but it was amazing. I was saying to a bunch of my reporter friends, I guess this was Wednesday night. Everyone in the place was talking about the other party, the Biden drama. It was like people checking their phones. When's this going to happen? There was a sense of when, not if. You know, say what you will about it. It's certainly depressing, but it's also much more of a cliffhanger than what this political convention was, which is a coronation.
Well, starting at the debate, of course, what we saw at the debate was unacceptable.
One of the things that I think, I really think, and this is an unpopular opinion, but I really do think that there's a feeling, I think, that people are really sick of Biden. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily in the voting world or normal people, but I feel like a lot of journalists are really sick of Biden. The White House has been aggressively boring to try to kill stories. I think there's a feeling that this is just a terrible administration to cover. And so there was so much pent up. And again, Biden, I hate that I'm defending him because he's never been my candidate particularly, but like this guy has never been great. He has never been a good
speaker. He was actually my candidate.
He was.
Well, in the sense that I was for him for the same reason that he got the nomination, which was he was the only one who could win.
Right. And that was why he got the nomination, was because he seemed like he could win. And now it doesn't seem like he can win.
And now it does.
And that's what it is. But I do think there's so much built up hostility towards him that the minute, and again, like there were so many reasons for people to be mad at him, and that it just all exploded. And that this news cycle has probably done as much damage as the actual debate. Or more, maybe. I mean, I wonder if this news cycle has really made him unelectable in a way that he might not have even been had he just blown the debate.
I think it was the level at which what we saw at the debate was that this really is affecting his abilities. I mean, there was no question of that.
Yeah, and that has led into, I mean, again, like Molly said, I mean, the aftermath has been brutal. And what's also brutal is it just keeps going. I mean, remember after this debate, I mean, they actually had some time. I mean, they had more time. I mean, it's been almost 3 weeks now?
It's almost a month.
I mean, there's this expression, I guess, in basketball when someone like dribbles the ball for 20 seconds before the 24 second and runs out the entire 24 second clock. And it's like he's playing with his food. guys, there's not a lot of time. I mean, they got to like resolve this.
Mark, you are hoping that he leaves.
Yeah, I am. I was hoping that he leaves, you know, a year and a half. I mean, you know, saying that as someone who appreciates him running and winning in 2020.
And what a great job he's done as president.
Absolutely. It's all true. And I get all the reasons why he would want to run for reelection and why it's hard to give up power and why it's dumb to give up power when you have the power of incumbency behind you and the institutional weight of your party and Donald Trump on the other side. I mean, all those reasons were compelling even when I didn't want him to run originally. But now I think a lot of that's just out the window. And I agree with Molly. I think there's a lot of pent up hostility towards him that is coming out now. And, you know, I don't buy the whole, he's being stabbed in the back. He's being pressured, this and that. I mean, This is the numbers are the numbers, and the guy cannot perform. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Right, he can't make the case.
Yeah, he can't make the case. I mean, it's not everyone's like, oh, there's no way he can win.
Well, he's tried to make the case in different interviews.
I don't think he did well.
No, I don't think he has either. Stephanopoulos was especially bad.
Yeah.
None of them have been good. None of them have been sufficient. But at least the stakes aren't high.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
We'll be in Gitmo complaining about the food. I think the fundamental inability to communicate a lot of these, you know, for example, you listen to this convention and they're talking about how America's this hellscape, and then you look at America, right, and the economy's never been better, the inflation's going down, wages are going up, there is major infrastructure spending. I mean, it's just boring. But if you live in a factory environment, or a lot of these people get most of their news from Donald Trump and MAGA-related entities, you believe that.
No, I was going to say the vice presidential nominee is sort of captures that. I mean, he's hillbilly elegy. He's someone who's talking to those people in the factory. He was a perfect MAGA candidate or not?
Yeah. I mean, I guess he is a perfect MAGA candidate in that, you know, the clock sort of starts with him a year ago because he did not seem to believe all of this stuff. If you listen to his past statements and read his past writings and so forth.
The American Hitler, of course, is quoted a lot.
He meant that as a compliment. He was just being descriptive.
Yes. Well, maybe Trump took it as one. I mean, I guess, he's done his duty in the current Republican Party, which is just to bow down. And
one of the big worries I had is on Ukraine. Because it appears
that's over.
Well, I mean, if these guys win, it's over, right? Yeah.
They made signs. I mean, that was the one piece of policy, was they're going to have mass deportation and they're going to stop giving Ukraine money.
There were signs, no money for Ukraine?
Yep.
We're going to end
the war in Ukraine.
Mass deportation now, was that the sign?
Yeah. I think so. The thing, of course, is he did, one of his lies was that immigration hurts Social Security. I mean, of course, immigrants aren't on Social Security, but they pay into it. So he was basically saying that these immigrants hurt the Social Security Trust Fund.
You mean undocumented immigrants?
That's right. Undocumented immigrants. Of course, they work. They pay their FICA. Their employer pays the FICA, too. And they don't get it back because it doesn't go into Social Security because they don't have it. So that was one of his just bald-faced 21 lies. And I don't know how many people that were there at the convention went, I'd say zero.
Yep. Didn't see a lot of head shaking when they were talking about that.
Can I ask a question, even though it's not my podcast?
Yes.
Mark, you were in the audience for the J.D. Vance speech.
Mm-hmm.
It felt from watching it like he bombed, but and that the wife was really good, and you thought, oh, wow, she's really a human being. And then he sort of just squandered it. Was that what it was like, or were they into it?
They seemed pretty into it. I mean, I wasn't kind of buying the Twitter static immediately. I mean, I thought he seemed pretty comfortable in his skin, especially given all the work he had to do, meaning I mean, he had to bow down to Dear Leader. He had to tell the story. He had to introduce himself. He had to, you know, look, I get it. I mean, I think he's got a pretty, what's the word? He's got a comfortable delivery. He's very conversational. He's obviously kind of a writer who knows how to talk about books. I mean, that was a thing I had. I mean, he had that kind of scary Silicon Valley
Peter Thiel kind of
story. Peter Thiel, by the way, gave him $15 million and introduced him to Trump.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a vice president if they win, who is very much in the pocket of one guy.
The reason that really worries me about Trump winning is the level of like nefarious Bitcoin billionaires who have decided that they can devalue the dollar and raise the value of crypto, thus possibly killing the American economy and using Trump as, like, that is another story that has emerged over the last few days that I actually think might be scarier than some of the neo-Christian nationalism stuff in 2025.
Christian crypto nationalists.
Well, I don't understand that plot. What is that?
So cryptocurrency does better when it's considered to be the safest vehicle for your investment.
It's kind of like a gold thing, right?
I mean, you'd certainly rather have gold, but or at least I, being incredibly old, would rather have gold.
It was perceived on the right as being the safer.
The problem with crypto is that it's a largely unregulated currency, and what Republicans want to do and crypto bros want to keep it unregulated because then you can do whatever you want with it. But the problem with all of these things is if you don't regulate them sooner or later, they become the East Palestine train disaster.
I haven't gotten into crypto at all.
As an investor?
As an investor. I just keep thinking of tulips.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, I mean, look, I don't have the brain space to actually, so only Molly Jong Fast has the brain space to.
Well, I know a little bit about that kind of stuff, but just from being a person who likes to shop. But I do think that that is a tension that I didn't see coming. And you see this with Elon giving him $45 million a month. So that'll be like $200 million. There is big money going into Trump world in a way that 2 weeks ago there wasn't. And Trump, yes, he'll grift some of it. And yes, he'll use it for legal fees and lawyers. But these numbers are so big, I'm not sure that they don't really move the calculus of this race.
Are legal fees, is that legitimate for him to spend this donor money on legal fees?
You know, the RNC has, I mean, at least the RNC, at least that pile of money, I mean, they've made it perfectly legit. I mean, there was a small rogue element within the kind of legacy RNC that tried to put some kind of ordinance in the RNC bylaw that he could not use any of this money for his legal defense. And that fizzled maybe after 10 seconds or so. So,
Molly, I really did love your Project 2025 podcast
that
you put on YouTube. And I recommend it to everyone.
We have four more episodes to go.
I can't wait to see them. Can you tell the folks some of the threats of 2025? I mean, it's remarkable.
So what happened was, just like Reagan had a think tank that created a mandate for him that they published his book. I mean, the thing is, why this idea is so hilariously bad.
This seems much more sinister in detail.
Right. So they said, well, publish this mandate for leadership. It'll be a book. And people, because the whole idea, and Thomas Zimmer says it, this academic from Georgetown, he said the whole idea is that the first Trump admin was a failure because they weren't able to, all they were able to do was the tax cut, right? And so the idea here, and also the three Supreme Court judges, but what the goal here is to really dismantle the administrative state. And by the way, that's sort of the top line. That's their advertisement for it, dismantle the administrative state.
And how many people does that mean in the government? Are they talking about
thousands? I mean, it's like no more Department of Education, right? No more federal education money, which is fascinating because if you think about it, states like Texas, red states, Florida, where they have a very low state tax, they get a lot of federal education money. So that means if your kid has an IEP, if you get services from the federal government, those go away. And like, for example, your friend, the governor of Minnesota,
Walz,
Yeah, I had him on the podcast recently. We're talking about they got federal money to give free breakfast and free lunch to kids, all kids. Yeah,
in Minnesota, all kids get free, which is the right way it obviously should be. No kid should have right to, you know, show his friends that he's poor by getting
right
a sandwich.
And the whole, right. The whole idea is there's no means testing for food for children. This seems, in a country this rich, this seems like the bare fucking minimum. Yes. But that stuff all goes away. So no federal education, no EPA, no NOIA, you know, no weather service, all the stuff that we get from the government that we think.
NOIA is like the biggest.
Weather.
It does all the weather, and it is the, it's the Department of Commerce. Majority of the money goes to NOAA.
Yeah, that's gone. All that stuff is gone because it's expensive and because it could be spent on tax cuts for billionaires.
And all climate change language will be stricken from.
You're not allowed to talk about climate change. You're not allowed to teach about slavery. You're not about, I mean, it's just endless. And but then the other stuff that is really, so there's a lot of dismantling the federal government, but the stuff that is really scary is that the central tenet of Project 2025 is that life begins at conception and embryos should have the same rights as people. And so when you believe that, you cannot get the IUDs, you can't get morning after pill, you can't do IVF.
No, I understand morning after pill because morning after sounds like something's been, an egg has been fertilized and you're killing that. How is an IUD killing?
Because an IUD keeps an embryo from implanting, which to them is abortion.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's, but then, but when you go down that road, it's like, does birth control pill, you've gone so far from actual like medical science. And you even see, I mean, Heritage more generally has all of these articles on their site about how, you know, we should bring consequences back to sex. We should ban pornography. I mean, the stuff is, this is not pop, banning pornography. I mean, I'm sorry, but like, I'm the daughter of an erotic novelist. I have some experience with people wanting to ban pornography and they tend to hate it.
Be the bans or the pornography?
The bans. People love pornography. I mean, and,
yes.
You know, I grew up in a house bought by pornography. Yes.
This is actually kind of the messaging challenge here. Yeah. People trying to, I mean, warn people of the legitimate menace of this, which is that when you say, oh, they want to end the administrative state. I mean, most people or many people would hear that as like, oh, good, because, you know, it sounds like an abstraction. It sounds like big government. And they say, oh, and a lot of Republicans or people who think they believe in small government will think, oh, end this department, that department, blah, 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 blah. You know, give it to the states. I mean, these are all long sort of tested Republican themes. But the idea is to drill down and to actually communicate it as something that could affect your birth control, that pretty seamlessly couple it with the abortion argument, with the IVF.
Well, they're going to replace how many civil servants with their own people? And that, to me, is the scariest of them all. And they're going to take over the Justice Department. All that will be under the, directly under the president.
Yeah.
That means prosecution of their enemies.
And we've seen introductions to that. Like, for example, Media Matters got sued by Elon in Texas, you know, where they do this jurisdiction shopping where they find AGs who are more amenable to this kind of lawfare and go after enemies of the conservative state.
Right. And, you know, the biggest sign that this is dangerous and something that they are would be gung-ho to use and abuse is that people like Trump are running away from it or claiming that, oh, I know nothing about this. I mean, there's like a lot of people now at the top of the Trump organization is like, oh, they're just trying to like make a name for themselves and so forth.
They're basically talking about taking over the entire executive branch.
It's not like they're going to be dissuaded by legislative oversight of this.
No. What it does feel like still is that Democrats have really taken a stuffed animal to a knife fight. I mean, Merrick Garland, they're so uninterested in highlighting any of this stuff. And I think there is a certain amount of denial on the part of Democrats.
You're saying the Republicans are and the Heritage Foundation and the people who wrote this document, 2025, they don't want to talk about it.
They don't want to talk about it. And Democrats are just, they're out. For whatever reason, they're sort of outgunned. They're just unable to defend themselves here.
Can you explain what happens with the civil service is How many tens of thousands are they talking about replacing the civil service with?
They're going to get rid of a bunch of these departments. So those will be gone. And then they'll do things like the Department of Health and Human Services will become the Department of Life. And it's going to be used for, you know, partially to keep people from having abortions.
But what you're talking about is civil servants who know how the government works.
Yes. They don't want like climate scientists. But look, Chevron already opened the door to that, right? The whole idea with Chevron was that you had people in the government who knew better than the justices, and the justices were like, no.
This is a Supreme Court decision getting rid of the Chevron doctrine, overturning it.
Yeah.
Which basically says the agencies can decide if mifepristone is something you can ship to a state.
Right. The idea is that Judge Matthew Kaczmarek in Texas knows more about mifepristone than the FDA that approved it 20 years ago.
Very scary. Please go. Where can they find your? Well, it's on YouTube, right?
Yeah. If you Google, I'm sorry to be clunky here, but if you Google Molly Jong Fast and Project 2025, it comes up. And I mostly just interview these very smart academics who explain to me, who are not necessarily like cable news people. They're more like writing JSTOR article people. And they explain to me, but because I have very short attention span, I make them explain it to me very quickly.
What does the Senate races look like? Because part of what this is largely about and what Schumer and Jeffries and Pelosi are talking about are down ballot races, or Senate and House.
From what I can tell, and I actually talked to a lot of these kind of Senate experts, and yeah, both on both sides. I mean, Democrats are holding pretty strong in a lot of these contested,
like in Pennsylvania and Ohio and
Nevada. I mean, Montana seems to be the one where Democrats are more worried than most. John Tester is up for reelection. He yesterday, in the second Democrat to call on Biden to drop out of the race.
He always seems to win his races by like 1,000
really
or
small
very small yeah. margins. And
yeah, and it's a very small population state, and he's a very good and compelling retail politician. But yeah, it's a tough, tough environment.
Basically, our Senate candidates are running ahead, and House's candidates are running ahead of the president.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Again, in danger of being very annoying. It does seem to me there's some polling situation where the way the polls are working at the top of the ticket is a little bit different than the way the polls are working lower down in the ticket, because they're trying to poll this Trump electorate that is a sort of non-traditional voter that often doesn't show up at other elections. Have you been able to get anyone to explain to you the formula they're using and why that might make it a little bit different at the top of the ticket?
Yeah, I mean, the formula, from what I can tell, is it has been flawed in the past. I don't know right. what the polling correction, you know, whatever formula they're using. But, I mean, people do forget. I mean, Democrats feel like 2020 was a successful election because Biden ultimately won. What people forget is that it was extremely close, and it wasn't supposed to be that close. I mean, Biden underperformed his final poll numbers. And also, it's supposed to be a great Democratic year in the House. And it wasn't. I mean, I don't think a Republican lost a single House seat. And that was all Trump's being on the ballot. Those are coattails. They also kind of underperformed in the Senate until Trump kind of undermined those two Georgia runoff candidates. And they got to 50-50. So Republicans have done well or much better when Trump is on the ballot. And he's going to be on the ballot again. And what's scary here is, at least if you believe what people are telling pollsters, there is a desire for like a ticket splitting result, meaning even though Trump might win, I think a lot of people in the states like Bob Casey, I mean, have a lot of goodwill towards him, want him into Sherrod Brown. But the thing is, like in a House race, like places like California, New York, which the Democrat will almost certainly win, but the margin could be much smaller, which could really affect some of those really close House races where Republicans actually overperformed in the last cycle, especially in New York.
New York and California are the reason they have the majority. The Republicans
right. And there's a lot of seats there.
I was last weekend with John Avlon, and John is a really interesting.
He's running in Long Island, right?
Yeah, New York won. It's the Hamptons. And what is interesting about him is he's gotten a lot of the very rich people who used to be Democrats but are mad at Biden to give him money. And I asked him about that. And it's because he was a conservative and he's still sort of a very centrist Democrat. That was sort of the answer he gave me ish.
And then he worked at CNN.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Seems like a very well-liked guy. People.
I've met him. And he's a really good guy.
Yeah. People like him.
That's where we lost the House.
So there are 5 seats in New York. John is running against Nicola Lota, who is not a great candidate. There are some, my friend Mondaire Jones, who I think is, since he's my friend, I like him a lot. He's running against Mike Lawler, who's a harder candidate because he's painted himself as more of a moderate. Though, again, I know no one cares about anyone's voting record, and God forbid I should bring this up, but all these guys have voted for, you know, impeaching Biden, impeaching Mayorkas.
Well, I have Josh Riley in the 19th district upstate New York, who was he was my judiciary counsel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And last time it was about 1.5% difference.
Wow.
Josh ran about 6 points higher than Hochul in that race. So
there's just a lot of people out there who I think want to vote for Democrats because they agree on the issues, I mean, especially around abortion and things like that, but they're just pissed at Biden at this point. They're so mad, and I think he has this kind of enervating effect on people, which, you know, till now doesn't seem to be souring them on all Democratic candidates or issues at all. I mean, theoretically,
but, to the top of the ticket is drying up money.
Yeah. Well, it's a big enthusiasm issue. We've said this before, but it just needs to be resolved.
And how quickly can it be resolved?
It needs to be resolved right now.
Yeah,
right now. I mean, it should have been resolved 2 weeks ago.
I don't think you can do this anymore. And people are so mad at him. And then the other thing is that they just are, they're kind of demoralized. We talked about this yesterday.
Well, I'm not feeling great.
I'm not either.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what we saw there in Milwaukee, that's, you know, the tip of the iceberg. You know, the rest of the iceberg is 2025 and what they're planning to do.
Yeah.
The rest of the iceberg is melting because of, you know, runaway climate change.
The other thing that nobody talks about climate change, like we're in the last 5 years where we can do anything. And once we blow this, it's over.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Molly Jong Fast and Mark Leibovich.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
Okay, so what is the scenario? The scenario is that it's got to be Kamala, right? I mean, it has to be. Or does it?
I don't think so.
So what do you think it should be?
I mean, I'm a big proponent of the anything is possible, throw it open. I mean, somewhat open. I mean, and have Kamala participate. What, 6 week election cycle?
So debates and
I'd love to see it. We all would love to see it. I mean, look, I mean, I don't buy that Kamala is owed this. I don't buy the notion that there will be this terrible rebellion inside the party if Kamala is not anointed immediately by the Bidens or by, you know, the money people. I just think that it would be a great and vigorous and incredibly refreshing relief to have an actual debate with people who represent the future of the party and of America. There is so much untapped energy and talent.
So who are we talking about?
Anyone.
Can I disagree?
No, you can't disagree.
Okay. Okay.
No, only if Al says you can disagree.
Okay.
I mean, I think you open it up to a mini primary, but you got to endorse the VP. That my take, I mean, he's got to at least say, you know, she was my vice president. And he's been very lovely about her when he speaks about her, which I thought was actually really nice. You know, I think he says she's my vice president. And I think he does something like an endorsement. Then he releases the delegates. Then you do a mini primary. But you do realize that she's the heir apparent to this ticket. You know, maybe she doesn't win that. But I really do think you play a dangerous game. And especially because all these other candidates are untested on the national level.
Well, she was tested and didn't test terribly well.
But she has campaigned since then and done really well. And if you look at like Ron DeSantis, like here's a guy who a lot of people who were not from Florida.
Oh boy, did he give a bad speech at the convention. That was remarkable.
He actually did have a good line. He
may have had a good line, but he.
What was the good line?
He said that Biden, we cannot afford 4 more years of a weekend at Bernie's presidency.
Oh, yeah. I heard
yeah.
that. Did he wear cowboy boots?
I don't think so. No.
What I noticed was he was not good at using a prompter. When I was getting bored, I would just try to say, how's this person using the prompter? And, you know, there's three prompters there. There's one down the middle, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, no, I know so because some people were stuck on the middle one. But what he would do is he had the one to the right, one to the left, which he thought, I have to use those. But he really was locked on the center one. But he would turn his head to the right to look like he was using that prompter. And then he just turned right to the center again. DeSantis, you're right. People were going like, Ron DeSantis is the ticket. You know, he was going to be the one to unseat Trump. He was going to be Trump without all the baggage of Trump. And my God, he was the worst candidate I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, Gavin Newsom, he'd be a great candidate, right?
I can see why people would be afraid. He comes off as slick. California is very easy to run against because people associate it with the decadence.
See, I think what Molly is saying, or at least that maybe this is just my point of view, is that you don't have any organization.
Yep.
So suddenly you're jumping in. You're pissing off black women.
Black voters.
All black voters and especially black women and women. So I don't see this, you know, we're going to have a series of debates. That means you have to have candidates and you have to have candidates. There'll be people who jump in that you've never heard of.
It'll be fun to cover, but it'll be bad for picking a candidate.
I'm not sure, though, because I actually don't know if the pissed off on Kamala's behalf population really exists in the real world. I mean, they didn't exist in 2020. They're not existing in any kind of polling since she's been vice president. And I don't know. I just don't know, again, other than people who are associated with her or who believe it would be or should be good, the actual voters are not attached to this idea and would love to see and get to know some other people.
Never ever overlook Democrats who get pissed off just on principle.
But also, just like if you're just gaming this out for a minute, so you have Newsom and Whitmer. It's going to be hard to get these people. They've already both said they won't, but say they decide that they will. These are people who've kept their powder dry because they think they're going to be president later.
Right.
So you have to convince them to jump into this now. You lose pretty good governors of states that you need. I mean, California may be a little bit different, but
yeah, you don't have to step down though. I mean, like you don't, I mean, like if Whitmer wins, I guess they'd have to.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, just when you look at the like actual, so you're going to get Wes Moore. I mean,
sure. All you need is a couple. I mean, I get why Newsom and Whitmer wouldn't want to run. I mean, first of all, they have big states to run. I mean, it's not right. I mean, the whole day job thing is legit in their cases. But yeah, so you would keep people out for political reasons.
Well, I'm more just my question is more just like I remember 2016 and what a shit show that was. And you've seen progressives have really stuck with Biden.
With a shit show for who? Democrats or?
For Democrats. I mean, you had a party that was still divided, right? There were people who still wanted Bernie. And that's one of the reasons why Hillary didn't win.
Right. But that was because of a long primary process. And, you know, you get the ideological. And
well, that was Trump winning because of two candidates, a Libertarian candidate and
yeah. Which we have Stein. Here, too.
Yes. Yeah. So that complication, Bobby Kennedy Jr., who Trump asked him to join his campaign, right?
Yeah, repeat it. I mean, I guess he has before. They seem to be talking about like some endorsement or something. I don't know. You see that call that RFK leaked from Trump or someone leaked it. There were documentaries.
His son posted
it. And these guys like leaked it.
It was a call from Trump to Kennedy, and Trump was trying to get him to endorse him, basically.
Yeah, it's a bizarre call.
But wouldn't it be better for Trump if Kennedy, even if Kennedy pulls from Trump, isn't it still better for Trump if Kennedy stays in?
I think so, because my feeling is that Trump has a ceiling.
Right.
And it's probably 47%.
Right.
And so any votes that are a third party hurt Democrats, because Trump will get to his ceiling. He has his 46%. That's there. And if you have Bobby Kennedy taking votes from him, that's I think that's it. And I don't think the other third, I don't think Stein is going to, she's running again, right?
Oh, yeah. Stein and Cornel West.
Yeah.
To me, I think Cornel West is a bigger threat to Biden, though. I mean, I think because he actually is a place that progressives, campus left people actually might go.
And we've been losing youth and Latinos and blacks in the latest polling.
Yeah. And around the Middle East, especially. And that kind of thing.
Well,
I'm depressed.
Yeah, I think that's well, let's cheer the audience up, though. There you go.
Yeah, get the dog in there. Just let the dog in. Like a dog cheers everyone up.
I would say the cheerful thing is that it's only July. And that a lot can happen and nobody really knows what's going to happen. And that is the truth.
That is the truth.
It is the truth. You know what else is the truth? I love being on the podcast with you guys.
Oh, that's
it's
so
a comfortable
cute.
Place, but too bad that we're.
I know where you're going with it. Well, we'll be comfortably doing it in Cuba, in Guantanamo Bay. It's actually not in Cuba, right? Gitmo is its own thing, right?
I am not even sure about that. Is it an island, a separate island or something?
We'll soon know a lot about it. So that's something.
Well, there you go.
Al, you host a great podcast.
Well, you guys make it great. Thanks so much.
Pleasure, guys.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. That beautiful music is by Leo Kottke, the great Leo Kottke. I want to thank Peter Ogburn for producing this podcast. We'll talk again next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.